let me see if I can read these verses, and I got stuff written everywhere, but these are certainly just a few verses, and there's so much there, and there's so much to understand, and there's so much I'm sure I don't understand. So turn your Bibles to Matthew 9, chapter 14 through 17. And of course, just about everybody you read about has got a little bit different slant on it, even though everybody's in agreement with at least one thing. This is talking about the new replacing the old. The new replacing the old. And as I begin to apply this in an extreme way in the elders' meeting the other night. Every time everybody said something, I said, well, this is the old. This is the new, to try to get it in my mind, but it goes much deeper and further than that. I even come up at the end and I said, Sunday afternoon, we will make the old missionary cottage look new. So don't forget that. Do not leave here without application. Then, verse 14, then the disciples of John came to him saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? Jesus said to them, can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch tears away from the garment, and a worse tear is made. Neither is new wine put into old wineskins. If it is, the skins burst, and the wine is spilled, and the skins are destroyed. But new wine is put into fresh wineskins, and so both are preserved. So we're really going to talk about the old and the new. How the old and new, in many ways here, and when we talk about old here, we are talking about a lot of traditions that as we look into the Old Testament, and we'll try to clear this up as we go along, but the Pharisees and other people had all kinds of ideas about the Word of God. They had the wrong perspective most of the time about the Word of God. So the old, as Jesus came, a couple of different reasons in the New Testament, as we call the New Testament, at this time when he came, he was ushering in the new. And that's what we're going to look at. He was ushering in the new. And it is really fantastic compared to what the Pharisees come up with, their old traditions. And each of these things is talking about this here, except the one here on fasting that we will look at in just a second. But what I wanted to say, this is what I'll title this, the old way of external religion must give way to the joy of the new. And that is true here today for you. Because we're always, there's something in us that we're always returning, wanting to return to external religion. There's something in us about that. That's why we come to church. That's why we pray. That's why we're in the Word. That's why we walk with the Lord. That's why we meet with other Christians. If not, we will go astray. We'll kind of be like the Pharisees and start returning to that old way. And what I was talking to Ken about yesterday, of course, my illustration, I guess it's been about a week ago, I decided some time ago I would replace my old truck with a new truck. Now, when I say new, y'all know it's not new, but it's new to me. It's not as new as what Jesus brings. But I always tell people, don't get off on the illustration. Get on to what the illustration teaches. So I bought this new truck. I've had my old truck 23 years. And I want to say this, both trucks kind of do the same thing. They got kind of the same equipment, the same thing. But this new truck is certainly more updated, really more fulfilling. If you get in it, you see it, you know, leather interior, all these extras. And this old truck, you know, it's getting where you're even scared to get in it and go anywhere. You don't believe it, ask Harry. Because we decided to take off on a trip, a few of us, the other week, and we didn't think we were going to make it. But anyway, the old has place. And again, there's a lot of the same thing here. These trucks are basically the same in one way. But of course, this new truck is new. It's got new features. And I also decided, you know, me and Dana was in this wreck in an old truck, and we survived. But I said, you know, we need a new truck that's got more safety features. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus, maybe I shouldn't apply this, but when he came, he brought a lot more safety features than they had in the Old Testament. He brought a lot more. And a lot of those saints were always there. They were just hidden. They couldn't be seen until we come, until we interpret the New Testament. But the old way of external religion must give way to the joy of the new. Jesus is here in person, and he's brought us a whole new perspective about religion. And y'all, I was always taught, of course, religion is man. And it's not always this way, but I'll give you a brief difference. It's always man's efforts to bind himself back to God. Well, Christianity is God's efforts to come after us. It's not us that are in hot pursuit of him. It's him that's in hot pursuit of us. And, of course, he is doing these things in the Scripture for us to read and see and understand and believe, and they're fantastic. And that's what the Scripture's about as we go around. But it's a new perspective, really, about religion, about Christianity. At the same time, y'all, what was going on in the Old Testament, that there was really nothing wrong with it. It was just a forerunner as God began to teach his people. Just small bits here and small bits there. He just couldn't turn the whole thing, and he didn't want to because he didn't want to. He did what he wanted to do. He couldn't throw the whole thing right on us all at one time. And what's it took? Where are we now? What, 6,000 years or more? Maybe you can come up with more from creation. Well, God has decided to take this time to reveal his plan. So in one way, he's in no hurry to take all this time. But he began, even from the beginning in Genesis, we know the first principles are, they're just repeated throughout the whole Scripture. The same thing's just repeated out as we move along in Scripture, and we see it over and over. But y'all, here's Jesus, and he's come, and I hope we can, in the right way, have this excitement to look back to when Jesus came and have that same excitement today of what's going on. The Pharisees and others had the Old Testament, but they had the interpretation of it twisted. So they were not always right, and of course they were always in opposition of Jesus too, because they wanted things their way. And what really is something that I just read a few hours ago that really puts me on, you know, the Pharisees could do absolutely nothing. Just like you and me, nobody can do absolutely nothing but God in saving man. And they were just total failures in that way. And they begin to teach these things. Well, Jesus comes, you know, and he brings in this new covenant. And y'all, this is fantastic as compared to people's interpretation of the Old Testament covenant. And what was it they couldn't see? The internal purposes of God. So, of course, they had put their own slant onto this. This is what the Pharisees did. Their view was really stuck on themselves and what they could do instead of on Christ and what he could do And that's what the Pharisees were looking at in that time. The Old Testament, now listen to this, the Old Testament was God's plan to bring the Messiah, His Son, from heaven to earth to deal with the sin problem. They couldn't see this. Of course, the Pharisees couldn't see this. But in, as I was quoting yesterday, it just started coming to my mind when me and Kim was talking about this. Pharisees could not see. But when we get into the New Testament, what does it say? It says, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. He came with this new, and His own received Him not. They totally missed it. And the reason we're saying the new replaces the old is that as human beings, we have to admit, we don't want to change. No matter what. You want to change. A lot of times you want to change a new truck, let's face it, or a new house or something like that. But really, it's hard for us to go from the old, settled, comfortable ways to the new. And this is where the problem, of course, was coming in with the Pharisees. They were the leaders. They were doing everything, controlling known religion at that time. And then Jesus comes in with this whole new way. And y'all, it's a whole new way of the gospel that we know now. It's really something else. It's really great. And when we sit down and meditate and think about God in Christ and what He has brought in for us, what He has done for us, it is fantastic. So I thought about, as we look, I will just quote you some things from Matthew chapter 5. Sometimes I hesitate to call this radical, but to the Pharisees and to some of the other people, this had to be a radical thing that was coming in. Why? What is the Sermon on the Mount about? I think it's about, really, instead of us trying to perform things externally, it's an internal attitude. Christianity is not what the Pharisees and other people thought that it was. So the new that Jesus is beginning to preach here, and I wrote some of them, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those that mourn. Well, that's not the way the Pharisees looked at true religion. Of course, they had false religion. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the hunger that thirst for righteousness. The old perspective of religion, of course, was fake. The true way is internal. And internal attitudes, not external things. And we're not saying external things aren't important. What is internal in your heart works its way into the external eventually. So this is something that Jesus is preaching. And of course the Pharisees and other people that don't understand saying, hey, this is something new. This is not what we've been taught. Well, we've been taught, I believe, 742 laws, the Ten Commandments. You need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do that. And of course, those things never saved anybody, but there were still laws and rules that God put on worship and things that done as you look into the Old Testament. But now it has become an internal working of God in your life, a totally new way. And Jesus is beginning to preach this new covenant in this new way, and it's just blowing people apart. And the first thing that we thought about was, okay, think about this. What, in one way, could be the greatest thing in the world for us right now? If Jesus just appeared and walked up, really, if Jesus just appeared and walked up here and sat around us and started fellowshipping with us and all that, what would we do? And now He's not going to. But what if He did? Well, that's what He was doing with them. And so the first argument comes up about, why aren't y'all fasting? Well, it's kind of like, you don't need to fast. Why do you fast? Well, you fast and you mourn and You fast too to get closer to God and to fellowship with God and to love Him and to know Him better. Well, He's standing right in front of you, so you don't need to fast. The bridegroom is here. The one that loves you, the one that saves you, the God of the universe is here. So you don't need to be fasting at this moment. And of course, the Pharisees and people didn't like that. You don't need to fast. And of course, they did a big outward show of fasting. They just made a show of things, and they fasted just to show how religious and how wonderful and how great they were above God. But the first question that comes up here is, you don't need to fast. I'm here. Jesus is bringing in this new radical, new covenant. And you know what He's going to do? He's bringing it to people. And it's a new way of life that we'll talk a little bit more about as we come. God in Christ is here, and He is doing extraordinary things that are great and wonderful. That's what I wrote now. He's here at this time. And of course, John the Baptist disciples, they fasted. But Jesus' disciples didn't. And why? Because Christ is here. He's there with them. It's God with us at this time. So when you have the bridegroom sitting there with you, and you are the bride, there's no need for fasting. And of course, this was another religious thing that the Pharisees had turned into religion. And it wasn't just that. I'm sure true believers at this time that were saved were mixed up on a lot of these things too. So as we look at the Sermon on the Mount here, about how blessed we are, the bridegroom is here. We're His bride, and for them, enjoy Him. And that's what Jesus was saying, enjoy Him while you're here at this time. The Messiah is here, fulfillment of the whole Old Testament is here. Give up this false way of thinking. And they had acquired, through centuries and years, all kinds of traditions and thinking. And these traditions and thinking that were not right need to be put to the side. And Jesus' new way need to come in. Now, I want to say this as I move on here. As we move to what we're going to say is the second point. And the thing I want to say, Jesus is not starting something completely new. And for a while there, I was stuck on that. There's something new, but was there something wrong with the Old Testament? Did God lie back then, and then He changed His mind at this time? No, He didn't. As a matter of fact, the New Testament is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. But the Pharisees themselves could not see that. And the Scripture says He came into His own, and His own received Him not. Can y'all believe this? Everything they were doing religiously, everything that God had revealed to them, what, through the prophets or whatever, was saying and talking about, one day, I'm going to send my Son. I'm going to send the Messiah to finally come and die on the cross and pay for that sin that y'all have been waiting. And they've been waiting on the Savior forever. They've been waiting on the Messiah, the Christ, to come forever. And what happens when He comes? Well, same thing that would happen to me and you. It's called total depravity. Unless God shows us directly something, we just don't seem to see that. Do not think that I have come, and I want to quote this as we move in here, Jesus Christ has come, and He's bringing in the new, but He is not throwing out the old. There's a lot of the old that needs to go. We know the ceremonial laws, the things that are going on. But he is not throwing out the total old. He's not throwing out the Ten Commandments, as somebody thinks. And if you look at the Ten Commandments, tell me which one of them you shouldn't be keeping in some way, shape, form, or fashion. Look at the Ten Commandments. Do you think in the new it's okay to start murdering? Lying? Is all these things okay? No. But just like the Pharisees, a lot of people get the interpretation, well, the new's here, the old's gone, let's toss it all out, and let's just live by the new. And there's some truth in that, but we don't talk. Jesus didn't come. He says that he come to fulfill the law. He come to fulfill the Old Testament. The whole Old Testament continually points toward him. Of course, the law of God points toward him. Everything points toward him. And when he comes, his own don't even receive. And of course, when you come to the second part of this that we were reading, no one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. For the patch tears away from the garment, and a worse tear is made. Neither is new wine put into old wineskins. If it is, the skins burst, and the wine is spilled, and the skins are destroyed, but new wine is put into new fresh wineskins, and so both are preserved. Now the new of Christ's coming is certainly the fulfillment of the old. The old is passing away. A lot of the old is passing away. But the new is the fulfillment of this old. And Jesus is building on this Old Testament. And again, think, what? We cannot throw away even the Word of God from the past. So what I wanted you to know, the new is coming and it's been ushered in by Jesus Christ. It has replaced a lot of the old in the old way of thinking. But at the same time, we don't take all the old and throw it away. But yet, we have to put away a lot of the old that doesn't apply. You know, we're still not into ceremonial laws. We're not into things like that as we go along here. So, those are the interpretations of these two things. The old is passing. Especially the old traditions about the old are passing. The new is taking its place. And I think I had one thing here that was so fascinating that Don Carson says, and I hope it fits in for you. Don Carson suggests claiming that the entire system of Judaism was defunct. In other words, he was claiming to be able to do what the religious systems of the Jews could not do. And think, oh, this is Jesus' claim. And I want you to think about that. Here, the Messiah finally comes. Here's this entire religious system. And y'all know what it could not do? I mean, they could do a lot of external things for you, I guess. But this is enough to blow you away here. It says, in other words, Jesus was claiming to be able to do what the religious systems of the Jews could not do. And what is that? Save people. Think about that for a minute. There is no way a Pharisee or any Jew or anybody could save a soul. It makes you wonder sometimes, how did they get such a grip? Of course, that's another story. Because it's only Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, that can save souls. They really had nothing else to offer except the false way of religion. Jesus Christ is able to save souls completely. And the Pharisees, or the old way that they interpreted the Word of God, could not save a soul either. But that's what was coming. Jesus was coming and he could save souls. And just think about all religion, all the religion that was going on at this time. But one thing they could do, basically, spiritually, for anybody else ever. Heaven. Only Jesus can save. You know, Jesus was bringing in this completely new way of life. What was he doing? What was blowing away the old in people's mind? He was eating with sinners. In the Old Testament, one, the Pharisees decide you are to be separated from evil and you're not to eat with sinners. And as you look at all of these different things that Jesus was doing, the Sermon on the Mount, he comes to Matthew, who is a tax collector, the evilest man on earth, and we still kind of think that too in today's society. Don't we kind of, everybody talks about the tax collector. Well, the tax collector was Jewish, but he come to his own people. He roughed them up. He said, pay me my salary and pay the Romans their salary. And people hated him, even though he was Jewish. And what did Jesus do? Jesus went to the people. This is the new way, y'all. In the people, in the way of the people in the Pharisees' eyes, he went to the worst crumb bum people and called them as disciples. This is a new way. And what is the new way? God doesn't base his grace on who you are and what you do. He does what he wants to do. And he shows people favor because he wants to show them favor. This is the New Testament. This is the Messiah that's coming. Yes, all this was in the Old Testament, but hidden in many ways and misinterpreted in many other ways. But the Messiah has come. He's sitting and eating with sinners. He's here so at this time you can fellowship with him. He is a person. He is God in the flesh. You can sit down and fellowship with him and you don't need to fast. You come and enjoy him. So as you look through the other parables and as you look through Matthew and you look through Mark, you start seeing all these things. You start seeing these unique new things that Jesus is doing. And somewhat, to some extent, his disciples are going along with him with some of these things. But again, the religious crowd is not going along with these new things, with this new covenant. It just doesn't seem to fit to them. And so we say, you know, the old is sometimes very hard to put away, but the new becomes such a blessing. And as we think of this, as we go through here, it's such a blessing. The new is such a blessing. It's why, because of this new way, it's why all of us are here today. Now we're saved. And this is when it begins to be introduced. And as I read one of these books I probably left over here that the church can and give us on, he keeps on saying this is a new revolution. Jesus was ushering in. Everybody loves to talk about revolutions. Jesus ushered in a new revolution. I mean a big one. And because human nature is so contrary to God, Jesus just about did opposite of what people believed as you follow him. He just about did opposite of what people believed. Because God's ways are not our ways and we have to learn his ways. But think about this. The old has already overtaken the new for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word for us today. We thank you that you have ushered in this new, and sometimes we walk away from it. Sometimes we forget about it. Father, we are living in these great times that Jesus has already come. The Messiah has come. He has paid the debt. He has sent His Spirit. He has given us power to live that others haven't always had. He's just brought in such a new age, such a new time. Father, help us to realize what we have in Christ and what we have in this new covenant. Father, help us not to get stuck on ourselves and be so self-centered that we only want to see things our way. Help us to put off the old and put on the new when it needs to be done. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.